Today, we're going to talk about a good heart. If I were to ask you a question, do you have a good heart? Most of the people here would say, yeah, I have a good heart. But when Jesus talked to crowds of people, only a small group of people would finally follow him. And so his disciples came to him and said, Jesus, what's up? We have thousands of people following you. I mean, we now know that they were following because he had the greatest show on earth. How many of you know that? I mean, the kind of miracles he was performing, you couldn't find anywhere else. There was no movie theaters. So guess what? You go after Jesus. Amen? So, but when he would ask for a commitment for them to believe in him, most of the people would reject Jesus. They would go home. Amen? One time, right before Jesus was to be crucified, he said something so crazy that everybody left him but 12. He said something like this. There was a crowd like here today, and he said, unless you eat my flesh and drink my blood, you can't have a part of me. You can't have a part of me. And they're like, this dude is crazy. He's some kind of a vampire. We're out of here. So all of them left. Now, he was talking spiritually, but the truth is, they weren't interested in the truth. They were only there for the show. And Jesus knew that, so he would say something crazy, right? It wasn't crazy what he said, but he would say it in a way that you needed to, if you really wanted to know what he meant, you had to go, can you explain that to me, Jesus? But if you weren't really interested in the truth, you would say, I am out of here. This is an opportunity for me to leave, right? There's people sitting here today, and some of you are here like, yeah, give me the truth of God's word. And some of you say something, just say something, just say something I don't like, and I'm out of here. Come on, somebody. And so Jesus knew that. And he's like, don't waste my time. If you don't want the truth, you can go. You can't handle the truth, right? If you can't handle the truth, you gotta go. Then his disciples would come to him in private and say, Jesus, what's up? We believe you're God, but how come all those people, they just leave you? So Jesus said a parable. And he said, a farmer went out to sow, and some seed fell upon a hard soil, and the birds came and ate it. And some seed fell upon a shallow soil, and it sprung up, but the sun came up, and because it didn't have any roots, it withered and died. Then he said, some seed fell upon the thorny soil, and that seed grew a little bit, but the thorns choked it. The word thorn is the same thorns they made a crown for Jesus, and they put it on his head. Same word. For those of you who like words. Some seed fell upon the thorny soil, and these thorns choked it. And then he said, some seed fell upon a good soil, fertile soil, and it sprung up and produced 30, 60, and 100 times more than was planted. And they being agricultural society, they went, where do we get that seed? That's crazy. 30 times, 60 times, or 100 times of what was planted. So he got their attention. And you would think that they would come to him and say, Jesus, explain it to us. They're like, that's good. We didn't get it, but sounds good, right? So his disciples come to him in private, and they're the ones who are like, Jesus, explain. Please, maybe I'm not understanding this. Please explain it to me. And so Jesus begins to explain. He said, hard soil is the heart of people. It's the mind that when they hear the good news of the gospel, they reject it. They just, like, I don't get it. In my head, I'm thinking about lunch already. In my head, I'm thinking how many bills I gotta pay. In my head, I'm thinking, I gotta chase that Pokemon. Right? In my head, is that girl looking at me right now or what? How does my muscles look right now? How does my butt look right now? right? So these are the people, they're distracted. So the word doesn't even come in. So the birds come and eat it. Then the second soil, these are the people who do accept it. They go like, oh, yeah, I want it. I call the second soil people an Oprah people. How many of you know Oprah on TV? Oprah, she is interesting. She always has a new philosophy or theology that she brings in. And she gets a lot of people following that theology. So many years ago, how many of you heard she brought a book called Secret? Like 10 years ago. What? The Secret, yeah. There was a book, it was like a philosophy, okay? So if you follow The Secret, you'll have a great life and you can speak it. And if you can put a picture in front of you and blah, blah, blah. And so everybody was going, yeah. We're going after that. And then a little bit later, Oprah brings some other guru and they begin to teach. Okay, so this is how you have inner peace and this is how you have joy and this is how you enjoy life. And everybody goes, shallow. Everybody shallow goes, yeah. We'll follow that. And then when the emotions of that shallowness come down, then Oprah brings something else. And they go, yeah, we like this philosophy now. We'll follow this guru. And then she'll bring Christian teacher and Rob Bell comes in. Oh, yeah, we'll follow Rob Bell. And then, right? So it's from one to another, to another, to another, to another. That's what shallow people are. I call them like Oprah people. Now, if you love Oprah, nothing against her. She's great. She's very talented. But her theology, you might not want to follow that. All right? Then, the third group of people, these people are smart. And here's why. They understand, when they hear the gospel, they hear it and they say, this could profit me. Right? God can make me rich. God can make me successful, right? If I follow God and maybe give like $5 at church, God will bless me. Oh my goodness. Yeah, I'll follow Him. These are the selfish soil. This is the selfish soil. These are the people that say, if God can bless me, I can follow Him. If God can give me more money in my bank, if God can make me enjoy my pleasures more, then I'll follow that kind of a God. Really, I don't want God. I just want what He can give me. Right? That's where prosperity gospel comes in. Prosperity gospel. Now, there's a prosperity verses in the Bible, but it's not prosperity gospel. And there's no poverty gospel either. So don't go fall for one or the other. Amen. Bible talks about poor people who are godly. And Bible talks about poor people who are godless. Bible talks about rich people who are godly and rich people who are evil and godless. So don't fall for one or the other. There's Bible is a balanced book. Amen. And so these third soil people, they follow God for what they can get. I don't want God. I just want what He can give me. And I'll jump through the hoops if I have to, in order for Him to give me what I want. Do you recognize yourself in any of those soils? Because those are not good soils, according to Jesus. But the truth is that I find myself in some areas of my life being one of those three soils. So as much as I like to say that I'm a good person, I'm not that good. One day, I caught myself thinking something. So, and you know, I'm a pastor, and so I'm thinking I'm a good person, right? And one day I was outside of the city, and I caught myself thinking a thought, and I said to myself, I can probably, if I do that, I'll get away with it. And then another thought came to me, where is this coming from? Right? Have you ever had a thought, I could probably get away with this? And then you're like, hold on, I'm a pastor. And see, sometimes we fear that we might get away from people. But the truth is, God is a just God and you can't get away from Him. So who are you walking in front of? Are you walking in front of God? You can't get away from His justice. Or are you walking in front of people? You might get away from people, but not God. And so today, how do you have a good heart? Because that's what we want, right? We want a good heart that when God's word falls in it, it produces great things. It produces a life of fruitfulness. How many of you like a life of barrenness? No. How many of you want to plant a tree and get nothing from it? How many of you want to plant a garden and get nothing from it? How many of you want to, not even going to go there, work a job but get nothing from it? No, each and every one of you wants to be fruitful. That's in our nature. And God said, be fruitful and multiply, fill the earth and have dominion over it. So God desires your fruitfulness. Can I hear an amen? Amen. Amen. You know what amen means? Truth. Remember when Jesus said, truly, truly, I say unto you, unless a man be born again, he cannot enter the kingdom of heaven. You know the word that he used? Amen, amen, I say unto you. So amen is just Aramaic word for truth. So when I say amen a lot, what do I say? I say truth. Amen. So amen means truth, or let it be so. Yeah, real talk. Thank you. Any other words? For real, for real. So when I say amen, it's for real, for real. All right. Some of you are new and you're like, man, this religious lingo. I'm just speaking another language, okay? Let it go. We're an international church. Amen. Truth again. There you go. So, how do you become a good soil? Let's read Matthew 13, 23. The seed that fell on a good soil represents those people who truly hear. If you have your Bible underlined, those who truly hear. Everybody hears, but not everybody hears with the same truly hears. Okay? Those who truly hear and understand. Word and produce harvest of 30, 60, or even 100 times as much as has been planted. So the big question I have for you guys today, how did this person, soil number 4, the good soil, became a good soil? How does a person become a good soil? Okay. Okay. How do you become a good soil? Now, you're in church today, so I assume you're a good soil, right? If you're a Christian, if you're a follower of the word, I assume you're a good soil. So how do you become a good soil? That's the question today. Because we know that good soil is not a natural state of being when it comes to farming and soil. Good soil is not a natural state of being when it comes to farming and soil. If you leave the soil to be by itself, it will not stay. Show that picture, a good brown soil. It will not be like that. It looks like coffee, grounded coffee, but it's actually soil. Okay. All right. Thank you, guys. You can take it off. So left to our natural state, you will not keep the good soil. What will happen to when you leave soil alone? Help me out. Dries up, gets hard. What else? Weeds begin to grow. Thank you. Yes. The wind begins to blow the good topsoil, and then you end up with shallow, rocky soil. Soil erosion, it's called. Come on, somebody. Right? So good soil is not a natural state of being for soil. And here's what I want to tell you today and me. That in our natural sinful state, we are not a good soil. Meaning, we don't have a good heart. Truth. Truth. Right? So as much as we want to say, I have a good heart, really, Bible says the heart is deceitful and wicked above all things. You have a good heart in some areas of your life, but if we caught you under stress, and if we catch you under pressure, while you're arguing with your kid, while you're arguing with your spouse, that's when we'll see your true soil. If we would just get a glimpse, a video of what you watch online and what you read, we wouldn't know what kind of soil we are. See, on Sunday, we're all good soil. Come on, somebody. Everybody here today is a good soil. But that's not who we truly are, just who we are today. There's that other side of the coin of our human existence. It's those thoughts, those ideas. And so in the natural state, we're not a good soil. And Jesus proves it. He said, a young ruler came to him, rich young ruler came to him and says, Jesus, what must I do to inherit eternal life? And Jesus says, follow the commandments. He says, I did that. Did that, done that. Since my childhood. I'm a good person, he's saying. And then Jesus says, go sell everything you have. And he's like, what? See, the rich young ruler is a perfect example of a thorny soil. I'll follow you, Christ, if you bless me. If you can make me more rich, I'll follow you. And what does the Bible says? He became offended and grieved and left. And Jesus was like, oh man, how hard it is for a rich man to enter the kingdom of God. The only reason some people come to God is because they think he can make him more rich. And that's, my friends, is thorny soils, because riches, they grow, yeah. But without God, they will choke the life of God. And so you can be rich and be miserable. Rich and miserable. So, how does a person become a good soil? Because hard soil is natural, shallow soil is natural, thorny soil is natural, good soil is not natural. Something had to happen to the fourth group of people to be a good soil. A bad soil doesn't just get up one day and says, I'm going to be a good soil today. I'm going to till myself up. It's impossible. So how do we become a good soil if we can't change ourselves? It takes, listen to me, outside force to make us a good soil. So it doesn't start with you being a good person. It starts with God changing your heart. It takes somebody to break up the hard heart. It takes somebody to pull out the weeds, take out the rocks. It takes somebody outside. You cannot change yourself. This is the gospel, the good news that you can't change yourself. And Jesus came to come into your heart and change you. Who can change a hard heart? Nobody. God has to come in and change the hard heart. Did you know that God has been in work in you way before you were ever saved? Way before you stepped your foot in the church? God has been at work in you. Did you know that this morning God has been at work in you to come to church? Your and my lazy flesh wanted to sleep in like 5 more minutes, and then we would get up and write on Facebook, slept over, I wish I could be in church, but yeah, blah, blah, blah. Well, you can still watch online. Well, I don't know. Right? So our nature, our flesh didn't want to be here. Something drew you here today. That's what I want to tell you. You think it's your willpower. No, I want to say beyond, underneath your willpower was God's power. God is at work in you. Listen, son, you got to encourage yourself that God isn't working me. Otherwise, I wouldn't even be here. God is at work in you. And you might have had a hell of a week. And you might have had a horrible week. You might have been beat up by the devil. And you're like, God, I'm not worthy. God says, hold on. I've been at work in you. I've been at work in your life. Deuteronomy chapter 30, verse 6. Let's put that up on the screen. The Lord your God will change your soil. So who is responsible for the soil? Good soil. How do I get good soil? God. What'd you say, Pastor? How do I get to be a good soil? The answer is, number one, God. Listen, the Lord your God will change your heart. You can't even change your heart. You can't even turn your heart to God. That's why Christianity is different than any other religion. It's God and our relationship with Him. God will change your heart and the hearts of all your descendants so that you will love Him with all your hearts and your soul and you may live. But I already live. No, you're not living, you're just existing. God says, so you may live. I'm alive, Pastor. What are you talking about? Yeah, many of us are alive, but we're depressed. We're just stressed. We're just pressed. We're just all these things. God says, I want you to live. You know what live means? To the fullest. How many of you are being blessed? I feel like Holy Spirit is ministering to somebody in this place. Amen. You did not choose me, Jesus says. I chose you and appointed you to bear fruit. None of us chose God. None of us chose to be here. The reason we're here is because He chose us. He found us. He changed our heart. Praise God. Amen. 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 Woo! Too excited. I'm going to lose my voice for the rest of the week. I've got to keep cool. God has been at work. Proverbs chapter, listen to this, 20 verse 9. You got to write these verses if you can. Who can say I have cleansed my heart? I am pure and free from sin. Can you say that? Can you do that? Can you do that? Can you cleanse your heart from sin? No. The answer is no. But God. I'm so thankful for God in our lives. I'm so thankful for my personality. You know, some of you are nice people and you have good genes, genetics. I'm not from that bunch. I'm from a bunch that's kind of broken. So I'm so glad that God, I wouldn't stand here. You wouldn't be here if it wasn't for God. Amen. Clap your hands. Yeah, give Him glory. The reason we could be a good soil is because God has been preparing and working in our life. His Holy Spirit has been at work in our life even before we were saved. I remember Jesse Duplantis tell a story. He said he was a rocker sleeping with different women every night in Mexico somewhere. And he said his mom was praying for him. And as he was walking through a hallway, right, God would just follow him and say, hey, Jesse. He's like, what? Am I high? Am I tripping? Am I going on a ride? He's like, God would always bother me. He would pursue me. And you know, if you're honest, and I know this in my life, how many times I would have walked away from God, but it was God who was pursuing us. Oh, man. It was God who's running after you. His goodness and His mercy has been following you all the days of your life. It was God. How am I still here? I'm talking to myself. How are you still here? God. So don't get too arrogant and don't get too proud and say, I'm a good person. That's why God chose me and that's why I'm a good soil. The reason I am a good soil and you are a good soil today is because God has been working in your life. He's been tilling your ground. He's been breaking your heart soil. I hear this all the time from people. Pastor, I'm just broken. And inside, I'm like, good. I have compassion for you, but I'm like, good, because you didn't need, if you weren't broken, you wouldn't even be here. If you weren't broken, you wouldn't even need God. Amen? What methods does God use to break us? You want to know? How does He do the work in our heart? He uses circumstances. Number one, He often uses even your divorce to break your hard heart. Divorce? Yeah. He didn't cause your divorce. Come on, somebody. He didn't cause the breakup, but He can use it to till up, to break apart your hard heart. A lot of people come to God and open their heart to God only when they've been through something really hard. You know what the truth is? When you're rich and you don't need anything, you don't need God. The hardest people to preach to are those who have it all. But when we're broken, when we've been through hard times, sometimes it took a divorce. Now, don't go through a divorce to soften your heart. Have God do it some other way. But sometimes you counsel people, and the man would just be, I'd be like, man, just lose so you can win your marriage. And he's like, no, I'm right, and I'll never lose. I'll never change. And I'm like, dude, just lose this one battle so you can win the war. I'm like, oh, and some men just, and women, some, they just won't. So guess what? The divorce is how God breaks their heart. You either submit to God, you either fall upon the rock or let the rock fall on you. You choose. Right in the book of Daniel, on whom this rock, or Psalms, I think, on whom this rock fall, he will crush. But whoever will fall on that rock will break. Either way. Pastor Wood, what is this? Good news of the gospel. Don't fall in love with the candy, church. Family, don't fall in love with the candy part of the gospel. Fall in love with the whole thing. Get a full meal today. Van said it. It's going to be meat. Meaty today, huh? Chew it. Chew it. Chew it. Don't spit it out. Just chew it. You'll break it up and it'll be good for you. Some of you are like, word of God is bitter sometimes. Yeah, read the book of Revelation. God says, the angel says to John, right, who wrote the book of Revelation, he says, eat this scroll. And he started eating. He says, it's bitter. He's like, yeah, it's bitter, but it's good for you. Right? So it's bitter, but it's good. Eat it. How does God break the hard soil, the rocky soil, the thorns? Sometimes people have to lose the job before they even open to God. Now, did God cause you to lose the job? No. Sometimes people go through sickness and they finally say, I need God. It's a wake-up call. Now, did God cause sickness? No. Satan is the one who causes sickness. God didn't cause sickness. But God can use it to soften to make your soil fertile. So his seed, which is information, which is the word of God, can fall into your heart and produce fruit. God is after fruitfulness. He said every branch that does not produce, all of you guys are branch. Did you know that? I'm a branch, you are a branch. Jesus says, I'm the trunk, I'm the vine, and you're the branches. And this is what he says. Every branch that does not produce fruit, my Father, snip, 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 cuts it off. And then what do you do with that? Put it in a fire. And every branch that does produce fruit, and see, you're in the house of God, so for most part, I like to believe that you are a good soil. And just God is tilling you still, you know, his work of tilling continues. But every branch that does produce fruit, he prunes so it produces more fruit. God is after fruitfulness in your life. So really, it's not about you. It's not all about you. I don't want to hear that. I need a new philosophy. I'm done with this Christianity thing. I want a God who can do what I say. That would be an idol, my friend. Yeah, only an idol can do what you want because you created him. You programmed him. So it does what you say. You can't program God. He does what he does. Amen. Can you handle any more? Can I finish this? All right, can I finish this? Thank you. Sometimes, if we're honest, marriage problems. And I hear this all the time, actually. Last weekend, I heard, Pastor, we were almost ready to separate. And then we found this church. And God changed us. And we've been serving and involved. And we love it. And we're totally different people. Sometimes a marriage. Amen? Did God cause you to have marriage problem? No. You know why you have marriage problem? Because you're so hard. You know why you have relationship problems? Because you're bad soil. Bad soil. That's it. So being a bad soil does not just benefit God. It doesn't please God, but it also doesn't please you. Bad soil doesn't please you either. Okay, yes, I got some people to agree with me. You don't want bad soil either. Pastor, I'm going to go run around, have fun. I meet you in a store. How you doing? Oh, Pastor, I'm going through some. Oh, you didn't like that soil. You thought you will, but you don't, really. We were created to be a soft, fertile soil, a good soil for God to be planting His seeds in. That's what you were created to be. And anything away from there, listen to me, anything away from there will not bring you pleasure. I had a friend who told me, I've slept with 100 women, and he said, before you're about to close the deal, he says, it feels like it's going to satisfy. This is exactly what I wanted. And as soon as you close the deal, he's like, get out of here. I don't want to see you ever again. That soil, the bad soil, does not satisfy. Does not satisfy. So stop chasing that soil. It only is going to produce weeds. The best it can do is produce weeds. So why chase something that you know? Listen, I told you, Bible told you, it's going to produce weed. Why not become a good soil? Man, this is good stuff. Amen. So next question. Bless you. Does the person have any responsibility for being a good soil? We've been saying God, 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 it's all God. But what about my part? Right? Book of James, chapter 4, verse 8, it says this. Come close to God. Whose part is that? Us. So come close to God and He will come close to you. Wash your hands, you sinners. Yes, Lord. Yes, sir. We'll do it. Purify your hearts. Okay, Lord. What? I thought it was all your work. How can a bad soil purify itself? So does Bible contradict itself? No, not really. You know why? Because it's both. There's a both option. It's God doing His work in us and we responding to God. Did you know that God didn't spare the seed on three soils and just planted it on good soil? That means He speaks to all soils. His word is being preached today to all soils. But the difference is your response. My response. Amen? And listen, Matthew 13:23. Let's read that again. Matthew 13:23 says this. The seed that fell in a good soil represents those who truly hear. Can we make that bold, truly hear? Can you guys do that quick? No? Okay. Because that would be so good if we just somehow, I don't know, make it like pop out of the page. Those who truly hear. So what is your responsibility? To truly hear. Truly hear. Truly hear. So the question to you today is, your responsibility is to, Jesus said, to truly hear. What does that mean? Well, soil number one, when they hear the words, but it doesn't register because their mind is distracted with something else. They don't want to hear it. Soil number two, they get excited about, they hear, they get excited, but it's a temporary thing. It's a new trend that's going to pass away. Soil number three, they're selfish. They want to get something out of God. And that's the reason they accept Him. But what does it mean to truly hear? It means that you want to know. Disciples heard this parable and they weren't satisfied with just the beginning of it, the first part of it. They come in private and they say, explain it to me. You know what truly hear means? To meditate on what you heard. Did you know that, what did I say, 70% of people in the world who don't believe in the gospel and Jesus have never truly took time to hear and understand. So if you ask them what is Christianity, they don't know what it is. They'll give you like, well, it's a religion. Well, it's a whole bunch of rules. Well, it's Jesus. But they don't understand the gospel. They just don't get it. Why? Because they're hard soil. They never took the time to listen. But those who truly hear, wow, thank you guys, good job. Those who truly hear and understand, those are the ones who are a good soil. They're not interested in something feel-good philosophy. They're not interested in just following God so they could be blessed, like a thorny soil. They want the truth, no matter what it brings with it. When you listen to the Bible or read the Bible, do you want the truth, no matter what it brings with it? Or do you want just God will bless me? For example, when a person who has a good soil hears that Bible says certain thing is a sin, okay? The way the good soil responds is like this. Yes, sir. I don't like it, but you said it, and I'll just have to take it. When a person who is a bad soil, they'll be like, hey, yeah, I'll follow that until it becomes hard. And they're like, I can't do that. And then they start justifying it, why they shouldn't do that, why it's not a sin. Amen? So, for example, when I was 17 years old, wasn't even true Christian yet, kind of on a fence. I think I accepted Jesus when I was like 19 years old, somewhere in there. But at 17, I heard this, that God commands us to give a tithe, to be generous with our money. And I heard it, and I was like, I don't like it, necessarily. Who wants to give 10% of their money? I want to spend my 10% and the 90, right? Especially 17 years old, 18 years old. And so I'm like, but you said it, so I'm going to do it. You see the difference? The hard soil says, I can't take that. The good soil says, God, you said it. I might not like it, but I'm going to do it. Bible says, love your enemies. I might not like it, but I'm going to. Good soil makes a commitment. I'm going to do it. Bible says, have peace with all people. But I want to hate somebody. And so I said, and a good soil says, I heard you, God. I'm going to do it. I'm not going to make up an excuse. I'm not going to come up with a different theology and say, but this group of people don't believe this. Right? But God, hold on, God, hold on. But if I become Presbyterian right here, then it's okay for them. If I become Methodist or Baptist, well, God, no. Good soil, when they truly hear. They hear God and they say, so God wants this. Oh, okay. And the truth is, in many areas of my life, I'm not there yet. So in many areas of my life, my heart is not good soil. But guess what? The work that He has begun in you, He will perfect it until the day of Christ Jesus. So listen, God is not done with us yet. God is not done with us yet. Amen. Amen, amen, amen. A last question. Well, just one verse. David, when he realized what kind of soil he was, that he realized he's not there yet, he wrote this psalm, actually after a big mess up. David messed up more than all of you guys or me. David really messed up. He took somebody else's wife, slept with her, had a baby. Well, she became pregnant. Then he wanted to deceive her husband, so he brings her husband from war, says, go sleep with your wife, bro. And the husband is honest man. He says, no, I won't, because my fellow soldiers, my brothers in arms are there in the field, so I can't do that. So David writes a note and then seals it and sends it with this man, Uriah, who was the husband of this woman named Bathsheba, sends him to the general. He gives it to general. General reads us, and it says, David, King David writes, put Uriah in front lines and then back away and let him die. Adultery, deceit, murder. That's David for you. Horrible. But he was politician, so how do you arrest the king? Right? Politicians seem to get away with a lot of stuff these days, don't they? Don't go there, huh? Van is like, don't go there. Right? Extremely negligent, but not deceptive. So I don't know. Same with in those days. David got away with it too when it came to the man. But he couldn't get away with it when it came to God. And when the consequences started kicking in, David couldn't say, it was somebody else. It was the Philistines. It was other people. It was my enemy's God. It was the Gibeonites or something. And David, in Psalm 51, he realized that he has a bad heart. I hope you also know that there's moments in your life where God will show you, I have a bad heart. And you can do two things. You can rebel and say, no, I'll just find a different church where they don't preach the truth. Or you will say, God, I really have messed up. And that's what God is looking for. That's why God calls David a man after his own heart. And here's why. Because when David came to his senses and he realized what he's done, this is what his prayer was. Psalm 51:10, create in me a clean heart, O God. Notice partnership with God. God did the breaking. Did you know that there were so many consequences of what David has done? So God did the breaking. But then David responds. He says, yeah, I've sinned against you. And then he says, create in me a clean heart. And God answered that prayer. And God later says, this is David, a man after my own heart. People after God's own heart, people with good soil, doesn't mean that they don't mess up. It's when they realize that they mess up. They don't rebel against God and they don't make excuses. They cry out and say, God, I messed up. On my vacation in May, I realized, man, I have a bad heart. One of my brothers just pushed all of my buttons. And the thing is, I didn't cuss him out. It would have been easier to cuss him out. It was all in my heart. Oh man, I had thoughts in my heart for my brother. He's second. I'm firstborn. He's second. Me and him crashed. If you're watching, bro, I love you. Created me a clean heart, oh God. Me and him always bumped heads. But when we were going in this family reunion, I thought I had such a good heart. And then after family reunion, I'm like, I'm not worthy to be a pastor. Maybe I should give up this whole thing because of what was happening in my heart. And you know what? God says, I know that. I know your heart. I just put you in a situation where you can see what's in your heart. Sometimes God will put you in a situation where you will see what's in your heart. And you can have two responses. It's their problem. They're bad people. It's everybody else. I'm a good guy, but I'm a good lady, but everybody else. Or you can say, God, create in me a clean heart, oh God. Come on, say it right now with me. Create in me a clean heart, oh God. Create in me a clean heart. You're after my heart. People judge by their appearance, but the Lord judges the heart. And so let it be the cry of our heart today. God, this summer, create in us a clean heart. So we can obey you. So we can believe your word. So we can begin to apply your word in our life. See, the way we get to be a good soil starts with God, ends with us. A man can pursue a woman and fall in love with her, be crazy about her. But unless she responds, he'll be just a stalker. Right? So what has to happen for magic, for sparks to fly? Man pursues, woman responds, and sparks, right? Same with God. God is working on your soil, and you can say, no, God, you're a bad God. Look what I've been through. If you were good, I wouldn't go through this. Or you can say, God, I thank you for working on my heart. Keep doing it. Completed, God. Finish this thing in me. Finish this job in me. Amen. And God is good. He's always good. He always desires you good. He could have left us to ourselves and to our sins. He could have left us to live in an authority of kingdom of darkness. But guess what? He loved the world so much that he gave his son. And Jesus Christ came and took power and authority from the principalities who were ruling this world, evil. And now we have an opportunity to hear the gospel and be transformed by it. I have two more big points, but I'm not going to get to them. So I'll simplify them, okay? Here's my last point. Not every Christian produces the same quantity of fruit. However, all true Christians produce fruit. Here's the good news. If you are a true Christian today, you are producing fruit. So don't let the devil beat you up, because sometimes he'll use a message and say, see, you're not there yet. You're not good enough. If you are a true follower of Christ, that means you have good soil already. Now, does that mean God won't pull some weeds out? Yeah, he will do that. But what do you do? Not every Christian produces 100-fold. Not every Christian produces 60. Some only produce 30. But 30 times what was planted is still a lot. It's huge. So the answer to the disciples, yeah, you guys are 12 left, 11 left with me. But what I'm going to do is, the seed that I've planted in you, James, Peter, John, Matthew, Simon, whatever. What I'm going to do is, I'm going to take that seed in 11 of you guys, and I'm going to grow it. And 2,000 years later, there will be 2.5 probably billion people in the world who are going to be the fruit of that seed that was sown. Did you know that you are the fruit today of the seed that Jesus has planted in the hearts of his disciples? Don't tell me God cannot do it. Don't tell me what God is about to do is insignificant and small. That seed has the power to produce 2.5 billion Christians who are alive today on the earth. That's how powerful this seed that God wants to plant in you. That's how powerful this word, this information that's entering your heart today. That makes me excited. Because sometimes I think, who cares about the seed of God? I want money. You know, who cares? I want a big church. But this seed, hold on. This seed has the power to change the world. Governments are passing laws right now. In Russia, you can't tell people, you can't do evangelism outside of church anymore. They realize the power of seed. In China, they're destroying churches because they realize the power of the seed to change the nation. There's a war against the seed in this nation to stop the word of God. True. There's a thing in our nation to genetically modify the word, the seed. Genetically modified seed is not true seed. Genetically engineered, meaning let's take a little bit of world and mix it with the word of God, right? That's what the world wants to do. And then let's plant that in. That's not going to do it. That's not going to create 30, 60, and 100-fold. It's the true, undefiled Word of God that will be able to save your souls. Man, I want to preach. I want to keep giving you, because I feel like there's a flow in this place. Three more minutes. What fruits does God desire to produce in us? We know 30, 60, and 100. We know that, right? But what fruit? Number one, fruit of your lips. Write this down. Fruit of your lips. What? How does fruit of your lips? Hebrews 13, 15. Therefore, by him, let us continually offer the sacrifice of praise to God. That is the fruit of our lips, giving thanks to his name. You know what God wants to produce in you? Praise. Because when praise goes up, blessings come down. 30, you haven't worshiped like you're going to worship in the future. Like you're going to worship next Sunday. You haven't worshiped like that. You know what God desires? Fruit of your lips. Worship. Number two, what does God desire? The harvest of souls. Apostle Paul writes in 1 Corinthians 16:15, I urge you, brethren, you know the household of Stephanas, that is the first fruit of Acacia, that's Greece, and that they have devoted themselves to the ministry of the saints, meaning this family was the first fruit to the Greek nation. So God desires souls. Who can sow seed though to have souls? Anybody. Even a child can take seed, because it doesn't depend on who sows. And seed is already seed, the word of God. So just take the seed and throw it. Man, I wish I had time to explain this one. This is so big right here, what I just said. Next time, I don't know. Might be a couple of years. Amen. What other fruits God wants to produce in us? God wants to produce the fruits of the Spirit. What are those? That's your character. Love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, self-control, gentleness. So that's fruit of the Spirit God wants to produce. There's fruits of righteousness that God wants to produce through you. And there's first fruit that God wants you to produce. You know what first fruit is? Generosity. The last place people start trusting God is their money. And so God says, give me the first fruit of your labor and I will bless the rest. Amen. Hallelujah. Thank you, God, for that's about all I can give you guys. Clap your hands. I got 1 minute.